It looks like someone glued the hands on here.
Can you take a look at it or no?
No, don't even, you can't get material
for it. Let me ask you a question, forget about this. Do you have a movement that we can put in this to fit this?
No, nothing that shape. Okay. I don't know if the second hand is not going to line up. The second hole will not line up. I gave you back that other one,
gotcha.
The fake Rolex. All right, I'll check it out.
All right.
Okay, no problem.
See you later.
Okay, fine.
Let me just ask you one last thing about the Rosenbergs. So do you think you're Mr. Fried? But was Mr. Fried a communist?
He gave me one watch to fix for him.
Rosenberg?
Yes. We'll start. I was born in Brooklyn in 1925, on November 7th. In fact, today's my birthday. I just turned 82. I was in Nassau Street for over 35 years in one office. Then we had to move out because they turned the area into condominiums. Aside from the Bowery there was the technicians, and downtown Manhattan here, which was where a lot of the old companies started, like Bulova and Benrus originally started downtown here. Eventually they moved to 47th Street. And you were able to just about do anything in the watch field or the jewelry field. The buildings down there were all had technical people in the trade would do just about anything they want done. There were diamond setters, engravers, platers, you name it, they had it. Material houses, there were four material houses, now there's none left.
Tell me about the first watch you fixed.
It wasn't really the first watch I fixed, it was the first watch I broke. It was my father's watch, had a watch in a drawer, which I was very, very interested in, or amused with, and wanted to know what made it tick. So naturally, I started to take it apart, took it apart, and everything flew all over the room. The springs went out, wheels flew all over. That was the end of my father's watch. At that time, I was graduating from elementary school, and in the trade school, they had an opening for watch repairmen. I was studying there, and after school, I used to work part-time in a clock factory. It was a clock factory located on Fifth Avenue called the Twin Face Clock Company, which was a clock with a double-sided face, one for each side of the bed. And I used to assemble those.
So it was like for a wife and a husband?
Right,
in the
yes.
Separate beds?
Yes, separate beds with two separate clocks. And which was also very interesting and set the basic for my knowledge of mechanical things. My instructor at the Brooklyn High School for Specialty Trades was Henry B. Fried. His friend was Sam, who was a brother of Ethel Rosenberg, the noted spy who sold secrets to the Germans during the war. They were both executed. The government executed both of them for giving war secrets to the Germans during the wartime.
But was Mr. Fried a communist?
He gave me one watch. When I graduated from high school, that was in 1943, the war was on. So naturally, I was tried to call for service, which I was not accepted at the time, and I ended up working in a defense plant. We were working on submarine tracking tables, which were a unit that would tell the longitude and latitude of the submarine, the American submarine, while it was underwater. So my partner and I started assembling watches and selling them to dealers at that time, because you couldn't buy any new watches then. And the watches that we used to assemble were trade-ins. What we would do, recase them, put a new dial on them, and put them back on the market to the dealers. Because at that time, most of the factories were turning out watches for the government, for the GIs, and we're not producing any civilian watches. There was a restriction of metal, yes. All of it was going into the defense for the bombs and shells and whatever. You couldn't buy any new manufactured watch at that wartime. There was always a few of the old ones that the people had in stores and stock from previous years. But the GIs all had GI watches, which are today, they are collectibles. The watches, automatic watches, have a dead center weight in them that would fall to the bottom. Whenever you raise your hand or moved, the weight would automatically wind up the watch and give you a reserve of about 30 hours would, in case you put it down overnight, you pick it up in the morning, it would be on time. But Benrus, Bulova, and Gruen all had automatic watches at the time. That was the trend in the 1950s. The quartz watches today are very accurate, but they don't have the longevity that the mechanical watches have. The automatics were beautiful watches, would last you for years. You buy an automatic, you'd have it for 50 years.
When you say that, like, the quartz keeps time, for you, does it matter if a watch is like a little off? Or do you want it perfect?
No, not really, no, because I can always adjust the clock to my time, or if a variation in time, I can usually adjust it. And you put them on a watch master and check them and adjust the time so they do run perfectly. You have a certain degree of accuracy. You try to keep it within like 30 seconds or something like that.
And right now when you work, like, how many watches can you fix? You had mentioned this
one
to me.
Day?
Yeah.
It all depends how much work has to be done on them. If they're strictly cleanings, you can knock out 5 to 7, 8 watches a day. It keeps your mind active and your body active too. And
do you have a routine? Do you get up in the morning at a certain time? Do you have a routine every day?
When I'm tired, I go to bed. When I'm hungry, I eat. And when I get up, I get up and go to work. I have no schedule. I just live day to day and let nature take its course.
Can I ask you what watch you wear? What do you wear?
I'm wearing an Omega automatic.
How old?
It is from the 50s. And my friend bought it in a flea market in Brighton Beach for $1. And he gave it to me.
It's a gold watch.
The top is gold, the bottom is steel.
But it's a gold watch.
Yes.
You got it for $1.
Yes. Basically, this business is a very relaxing business. I had taught about 3 or 4 students. They find it that it did very much relax them, because you've got to be relaxed and calm to work on a watch. You can't be nervous or shaky or pressurized, because it would affect your workmanship. I'm wholly into the watch. You have to be. Otherwise, if you're distracted or other things on your mind, you would make a mistake or ruin a part or lose a part. I never let anything upset me, because it would affect my working ability. I try to keep an even keel, calm outlook on everything. Well, right now there's a basic shortage of watchmakers. There are schools now that are teaching watchmaking. Eventually you'd have to send your watch to Europe to be repaired. I know the watchmaking companies are paying high salaries to get watchmakers. The one watch that I keep in my collection is a Vacheron Constantine pocket watch. It was supposed to be a handmade watch, and beautiful condition. The plates are all polished with beautiful jewels with bushings in them. Over the 1930s, 1940s.
And it's a rare watch.
It's a rare watch, yes.
Made in America?
Made in Switzerland.
So this is kind of like the Stradivarius.
Yes, like a Stradivarius of watches.
And can I ask you, do you ever look at what time it is, other than like when you wind up the watches? Is time important for you or not?
No, because I can judge about what time it is without looking at a watch. I can get up in the morning and say it's a 5 o'clock. Or I can work for about 3 hours, I can say it's 8 o'clock. You're so used to watches and time that it basically you're like a built-in timekeeper. Do I care what time it is? Not really, no. Go with the tide, go with the flow, that's all. You bend with the wind and that's it. No set rules or anything. I don't have any set rules. I just live naturally. That's the best way. That's what I believe. That's the best way, isn't it?
No. Nope. Russian watch like that?
Not for this one. This is a Russian watch.
Right, I know.
You cannot get material for it. You gotta ask Nick.
You don't think you can match a wheel in there?
No.